You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Monday afternoon, a new week for some good news, old news, good news. Let's move forward.
Well, you know, we keep having some great momentum towards having college football in the fall. So there were some things that came out in the last few days and today. So, you know, there's a lot of momentum towards there being some football in the fall.
The Pac-12 came out today that they're allowing the schools mid-June.
June 15th. The Pac-12 presidents voted. Well, last week, the NCAA said schools can have students, athletes on campus June 1st. The Pac-12 presidents voted today to allow them on June the 15th. So, of course, it's up to each school. Mm-hmm. And they also have to follow all the local guidelines for the safety of the players and whatnot. So, but again, Utah and Colorado both today said that they're going to allow students on campus. So, that's pretty much, we're getting close to pretty much all the Pac-12 schools saying they're going to be ready to go. So it looks like there's going to be football. Again, we just still don't know what that's going to look like.
Right. And there's still optimism that there'll be fans in the stands, maybe not a whole lot, but some.
Right. And most everybody has said that for sure there's not going to be, the stadiums aren't going to be to capacity, 50% or less, some say as low as 20%. But, there'll be fans who'll be able to go to the games.
We'll see what happens locally. I joke about this because Arizona has, 54,000 capacity on a good day. Last year was like 32.
They didn't do well last
32,
year.
32. So if you can get 25, that's kind of almost a win.
Yeah, I'll go.
Oh, no, You can't wait.
I'll go. There's some good news. There's some other stuff happening. The NHL said that they're going to just go straight to the playoffs whenever they're ready to play, and they're going to have 24 teams instead of 16, which is, again, something. But then on the other hand, you got Major League Baseball, who's just going to mess this up as much as they can, because it looks like they have found a way to play, but now they can't come to financial terms on it. And, the way I see it is if they don't play, this is not COVID costs. This is a work stoppage because they can't agree on the money.
On the price. And didn't we talk about that last week or something? It's always about the finances.
It always is about with those guys. And somebody pointed out that of all the professional sports, Major League Baseball has the worst relationship between the players and the owners. And year in and year out, they can't figure it out.
You're a baseball guy. I used to be a big sports fan. I'm not anymore. But you've seen a number of these because you follow the Dodgers. And fans give up on them. And then they have to come back to them.
They do. And they have to keep winning back the fans. And it's awful. But as you see the attendance at games and stuff like that, people are getting sick of it. Mm-hmm. People are getting tired of seeing guys making $20-30 million a year
and not appreciate it.
Yeah, and then being big babies about it. Right. So yeah, absolutely.
Especially, and I was talking to a friend. You go to more games than I do, obviously. For a family of four, I'm sure you take a couple of kids.
Oh, it's
go.
Expensive.
It's $400 minimum.
Oh yeah,
minimum.
It's a few hundred bucks. And then you got owners like the Oakland A's owner comes out today. The guy's a multi-billionaire, and somebody does the math and says in order to pay their minor league players $400 a week, which is nothing,
right,
through July and August, which is what their season would have been, it's $1 million. And I get it. $1 million is a lot of money.
Sure.
No matter
that's
where,
10 bucks
no matter
to you
what
and
you're
me.
Talking about, it's a lot of money. But when you're a
It's 10 bucks to
multi-billionaire, and you say, I'm not going to give these guys $400 a week.
Yeah.
There's issues on both sides, the players and the ownership. I mean, come on.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, it's easy for us. It's like I said, it's that $1 million to him is 10 bucks to you and me. Yeah. And you think, just go ahead and do it.
My dislike for the A's goes all the way back to the 73 or 74 World Series when they beat the Dodgers. I hated those Reggie Jackson teams and all that
Joe
stuff.
Joe Rudy, was it Joe Rudy?
I really hate those guys now. I mean, come on, guys. So I don't know what to tell you.
That was a caveat. That was the asterisk on this comment. I get it.
So anyway, you know, a lot of good news, but, you know, Major League Baseball is going to screw this up.
Right, right. And we just heard that hockey is prepared.
And hockey's ready to come back if they can figure out a way to play.
NBA, we think, will follow suit somehow.
I would think that they'd do something similar to that because, mm-hmm. you know, what you're hearing is that players don't want to play. They don't want to get themselves back in shape and play and risk injury if they got no shot to be in the playoffs.
Right, you're talking about the non-playoff teams.
Right, right. Yeah. So, you know, I could see the NBA doing something similar where they'll say, okay, it's just going to be playoffs. Mm-hmm. Maybe they expand the number of teams that are in the playoffs or right. whatever they do. But, you know, just go straight to the playoffs. Get the playoffs. That'll keep everybody's interest. Nobody wants to see a bunch of regular season meaningless games.
No one watches it now, regular season meaningless exactly. games. They're waiting for the playoffs.
Exactly.
Because right now, I think we'd probably be in the second round of the playoffs, pretty much. Maybe third, beginning of the third.
Somewhere getting closer to the third round. Right. The thing finishes
in June.
It finishes in June.
Yeah, you're right.
My clock is that this is a time that I normally take this annual family trip to Rocky Point, and we're always watching the conference finals when we're down
That's
there.
That's true.
So I think the conference finals would be going on either just starting or going on right now.
Right, then they have like a week off before they start the finals.
Then start the NBA finals.
Right, sure. Right. We have a couple of minutes. Who do we have on today?
We've got Arizona soccer coach Tony Amato. We want to talk to him about, you know, how he's built this program up. It was in a bit of a shambles when he got here, and pretty quickly got things going. They've been in the NCAA tournament 5 of the last 6 years, and so I'd love to talk and see, you know, what interested him, and you know, what was the interest in Arizona, and what did he have to do to get this thing rolling. They're fun to watch. I've done a few of their games as their PA announcer. They're a lot of fun to watch, and I'm not a big soccer guy, but they're very interesting to watch. They're good. You know, it's fun to watch, you know, an Arizona team, and you know, you can tell they're very well coached.
Yeah, no question. He's brought these guys up pretty high, considering what it used to be.
And, you know, they've got a couple of great players coming back this year, so I think he's pretty hopeful. And, again, if they can get on campus and mm-hmm. start playing, you know, I think, you know, he's got to be pretty happy.
I had him on my show initially maybe 18 months ago, and he was great, a great guest. I know Chris DeSimone has him on a lot because Chris is a big soccer fan. So good to have Tony back on the show here. Let's want to take a break now. We can have a minute and then get him up 6:15. Is that cool?
Sounds good to me.
Great. Let's take a quick break here. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez here on 10 Through the Voice. We'll be right back after this break.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone, we have UA soccer coach Tony Amato. Tony, how are you?
I'm good. Just living the newborn life in quarantine. So I'm trying to keep my sanity.
Wow, a newborn life? Is there an addition to the family?
We had a daughter 2 weeks ago to the day.
So. Oh my God. Well, congratulations. What a time to bring one in.
Yeah, a little different, but all is good, so we're very happy.
So you're not a fan of sleep, I see.
At the moment, it feels like we're in season. You know, I don't sleep a lot during season, and it feels like we're in season right now.
Well, you're probably going to have a little more time to try and get some rest and get through this. So, well, congratulations.
Yeah,
That's great to hear.
Appreciate it.
Well, Coach, first of all, I got to apologize because I think we gypped you out of one of your tournament appearances in our social media today. We said you had you were in 4 of the last 5 seasons when it's actually 5 of the last 6 seasons that you've been in the NCAA tournament.
There we go. We'll take it.
Just want to correct that. But, you know, I want to take you back to the beginning because, you know, looking at your record, you were highly successful at Stephen F. Austin. And, I mean, if you weren't already getting a lot of calls, I'm sure the calls were going to start coming in to take over any one of a number of programs, and you were probably going to have a lot of choices, again, if you didn't already. Why Arizona? You know, Arizona was a program that had been in a bit of a shambles, hadn't done very well for quite a while. Why Arizona when that time came?
I mean, honestly, the reality was, like, I was – looking to always coach at the highest level. And at the time, some phone calls were coming in. And as that process started, because our team had had a very good season at SFA that last season, it was really a matter of just sifting through, like, what opportunity was I going to get at the next level. I started at a D2, then went to a mid-major D1. And I was interested in Arizona because it was in a Power 5 conference in the Pac-12, which is the best women's soccer conference in the country, and the opportunity was presented. And so you put that together and you go, can we go there and be successful? I was confident that we could, especially with strong ties to recruiting in the West, since Arizona has a great brand in the West in terms of the university and other sports programs, that I thought this will be a good opportunity, one I couldn't pass up, and took the plunge, and it's worked out pretty well.
The ceiling in the Pac-12 is unbelievable, as you know, the Stanfords and those type of teams. How is it, you know, sometimes being here, and you've been competitive, obviously, in the 6 years you've been here, but how difficult is to crack that tough, tough top?
Well, I mean, you're talking, there's 8-9 elite programs in the country that, you know, have an expectation every year of winning the national championship. And three, maybe four of those are in our league. So it's really tough to break into that. But when we took the job, our goal was to, you know, compete it and beat and win against the best team. So we've on the day beaten some of those best teams. We still haven't gotten Stanford yet. We've had some close overtime ones. But honestly, the goal isn't just to beat the teams in our league. It's actually harder to win our league than it is the national championship, if you can believe that. And the reason I say that is that you just have to win 6 games in the tournament. And if you get lined up right, you can make a run at doing that. Now, it's hard, but there are teams in our league that have never won our league but have won multiple national championships. So it is hard to break into that. Our goal is to get in the tournament every year and make a run from there.
So what was the first order of business when you got here? I mean, when you evaluated the program and you got here and you checked things out, I mean, what did you feel you needed to do first?
Honestly, the first thing is I felt like we had to win some games. You know, I was coming from a mid-major at a D2 background. I wasn't this, like, star pro player who played at UCLA, you know, played in the pros, and then, like, now it was like I was grinding from the bottom up, and I felt like from the beginning we have to win some games to build some credibility with our team, with our administration, with the community, with people in our league, with people around the country. Like, I felt the vibe was like, oh, sure, he could do it at D2 or a mid-major, but this is a whole new level. In fact, some people said that to me. And I felt like we got to win some games first. And so that was really what we focused on, and how were we going to do that. I think the other part, though, that jumps out was I felt like we had to connect some bridges. I felt like a lot of it was just silos, and no discredit to how things were in the past. But it just sometimes in sports, it can become like the athletic trainer does their job, assistant coaches do theirs, head coaches do theirs, players do theirs, marketing do theirs. Administration does theirs, and I felt like we got to get more bridges connected to these silos of people doing their jobs and get some ownership, and that'll be the foundation for if everyone takes ownership in this, I think we can win, and that would then propel us to the next step.
I would assume that had some connection to do with the local talent and getting them on board, or at least maybe getting the locals to believe in the program.
Well, definitely from a community standpoint, just, you know, making sure you know, Arizona has an unbelievable fan base in general. And so we wanted to connect to the community in that sense and build some credibility there. And then, of course, obviously from a recruiting standpoint, like, it's easier to recruit when you have some tangible results. So, like, I got here in 2013, and it was Paul and I initially, and then Kylie, a former player of mine, joined us. And basically those days we were telling them in the initial few months recruiting wise that, oh, trust us, we're going to be good. It's going to look like this. We're going to be able to win some games. And that's a lot different than, you know, 2 years down the road when you're saying we've been to an NCAA tournament, we've won some games, we've proven we can do it quick and initially. Come be a part of this and help us take it to the next level. And so those early recruiting days, they were taking a big leap of faith, whereas now it feels like it's it's always a leap of faith, but it feels like we have some tangible things that tie it to.
So let's talk about, well, first of all, you're dealing with the same thing that everybody else is dealing with. And so you kind of been, hoping that your players are, working out and getting ready and stuff like that. What kinds of things have been going on with the team as you guys get ready? And now, you can be on campus in a couple of weeks.
It's kind of been in phases. Initially there was so much uncertainty that the players we were just trying to get them some answers the first week, 2 weeks. And obviously it was all remotely. And so we had set up multiple individual meetings with every player to just figure out where they're at, answer some questions, try and give them any sort of direction of what the weeks ahead look like. Then the second part of that, they kind of just settled into like, yep, we have our workouts. We're doing the best we can. We're doing some schoolwork. And it looked like they had settled into the finish line being the end of the semester. And that kind of felt like the next phase. And then the semester just recently ended, and it kind of opened up the uncertainty again of like, when are we coming back? Are we having a season? They started listening to all this stuff, all the speculation and all the doom and gloom in the news, and so then we had to spend some time like reassuring and being optimistic, and that's really the phase we're in now. Other than them working out, we've been doing Zoom calls to connect to them, the team. We created a little competition over Zoom calls between we divided the team into two teams and just had some banter and some competition, one team against another each week, to kind of keep those competitive juices flowing. But honestly, it was all overall arching theme was just about engagement. How do we keep them engaged? They were falling in the routine of sleeping in and not really sure when they're doing their work, and some did better than others, but it was really about keeping them engaged and helping them see a finish line. It was really, they wanted to have an end date of when they were going to get back, and that was been pretty tricky.
You've been doing this a long time. I've had a couple of young soccer players who are now older now. Jay has a couple of kids, or a few kids actually, that are in their 20s now. So we've all been through this. Yeah, I'm a firm believer that kids are resilient. You just tell them what to do, and then they're smart enough, and they're very smart actually, to know what's up. You can't hide anything from them. You have to tell them the truth to make sure they're on board. So I'm sure your girls are exactly that. You tell them where they need to be, tell them what to do, and they'll be ready for you come September.
Yeah, most of them. There's always some outliers either way. But no, we have a good group, and you're exactly right. That's what's happening. They want to know, okay, what do I got to do? I'll do it. Give me some direction. And, it's in these times that people look for leadership, right?
Right, right.
So we're trying to give some direction, although we don't have many answers. And I think that's fine sometimes to say, like, yeah, we don't have the answers. This is going to be different. We're going to figure it out. And we're just trying to stay optimistic and give them some checkpoints along the way of, like, this is what I do know. And here's the information. Try and stay positive. Do your work. Do your workouts. Do your schoolwork. And we're going to come out on the other side of this and have to figure it out.
So we talked maybe about 18 months on the show. I'm just curious because you had some great success comparatively with your own self and then with previous stuff. When did you feel, and I know coaches don't like this question, when did you feel like you've kind of arrived here? Because you've had to won a few good games and said, you know what, I think this is going to work.
Not sure I ever had that moment.
You've had some success, though.
We've had success, and I think you, when you go into that first season, you have some questions of like, okay, I've not coached day in and day out at this level, and a lot of people are speculating. But I would say after completing the first season, I felt like, yeah, we'll be able to figure this out and make it work. We don't have all the answers in year one. We're not the greatest coaches of all time. But I did feel like after season one that we'll be able to maneuver and navigate this, and it won't always be easy. We're not always going to have NCAA tournament seasons, but for the most part, I felt like we'll be able to figure this out moving forward.
So tell us about what had you when you thought you were going to have a season. You still looks like you are, but what's got you excited about the season coming up?
Well, if you asked me that a couple months ago, it would have been different than now. Like, I was talking to one of our administrators today, Erica Barnes, briefly, and was just like, we'll figure it out. I just want to be back on the field. Like, I want to coach. I want to be on the field. We'll figure it out. I'm excited about that, just getting out and coaching some soccer. And it ends up never just being about coaching soccer, but it would be nice to get out and work with the players again. Ultimately, that's why I coach. It's not to have an office job and do Zoom calls and sit in a room and be on the computer. It's to interact, to build relationships. I love the game, and so we haven't had the game. And so really I'm excited about that, just getting between the lines and running some training sessions and having the players compete to win some games.
So is it going to be the usual suspects at the top of the conference again? And, you know, where do you guys fit?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the favorites every year in our league are going to be Stanford, UCLA, and USC. And then, you know, Washington State went to the Final Four last year. UCLA did as well. Stanford did as well. USC has won a national championship in the last 3 years. A lot of those teams are the ones at the top. And then it's like, you know, Arizona, Colorado, like there's another group that's, you know, looking to break into that top two or three every year. And we know enough that, like, we're in that mix to compete to make the NCAA tournament every year and beat the best teams in our league. But we also know, like, our league is so brutal that, like, you could easily not have it dialed in and be at the bottom of our league. So, we're always in that fight every year of, like, trying to make the NCAA tournament, and that won't be any different this year.
If all things are good, when do you guys start showing up? Late August? Or, I mean, late July?
Well, honestly, they usually start voluntary workouts mid-July when Summer 2 starts. So Summer 2 starts like the 12th this year, July 12th, somewhere around there. And so usually that's when they all come in, take a Summer 2 class, and work out with our strength coach and start doing some team activities and just kind of building that foundation. And then usually around August 1st is when we would be able to start coaching them. As of right now, we're not totally sure. I know things are changing by the minute, but we're hoping that, you know, our players can come back to voluntary workouts in July, and then we go from there.
Great, Coach. Great to have you on the show. We'll have you back in September, maybe.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, Coach, thanks
all
so
right.
much.
Appreciate Take it. Take care. All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
That was Coach Amato from the UA soccer team. Let's take a quick break here.
For nearly seven decades, Hughes Federal Credit Union has been there for its members through good times and bad. We know that by working together, we can achieve great things, like addressing your financial needs during these uncertain times. We're available for you by phone or online via our website or mobile app. Our drive-up windows are open, and we're available to help you in our branch lobbies by appointment. We've got your back today, tomorrow, and for decades to come. Visit HughesFCU.org, insured by NCUA.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. I would assume that you walked into the office a little with more pep in your step, Jay, after having some sports this weekend.
Well, you know, there was another golf event, and it was fun to watch. And we were talking about it, and not so much for at least for me, it wasn't so much about who was going to win or lose that match. It didn't really matter. I know it was kind of competitive because those four guys, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and all Peyton mm-hmm. Manning are all ultra competitors. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been as great as they were in their sports. But it was more fun to watch the chatter and listen to what golfers go through, the professional golfers go through when they're playing golf, because they had them all mic'd up, and they had mm-hmm. so you could talk to them, and there were people asking, you know, announcers asking them questions and stuff, but just things of how they read a green and, you know, what they're aiming for when they're hitting a shot, and the way they and you know that the precision that they play with is off the charts. Us, you know, scrub golfers have no idea what they go through when they're figuring out, even a shot. But that's what I thought was the most interesting thing to hear, to listen to Phil Mickelson talk about which way the grass is laying, because he can tell it's the grass on the putting green, it's laying away from him because it's a lighter color than the rest of the green. I'm like, you know,
I just hit the ball.
I walk up, I see if there's a break, I hit it, and if I make it, I make it. If I don't, I don't. But you know, that part was fun for me. I only caught the back nine. I was doing some yard work, but I caught the back nine, and it was fun to watch that.
You know, I caught the front nine, maybe three holes in, and I saw Brady hit his shot from 100 after getting grief from Sir Charles. And of course, everybody who listens to Sir Charles is getting grief.
Exactly.
He's always talking a lot of smack. But that's the fun. That was the fun part of it for me.
Yeah, yeah. And it, like I said, it was fun to watch. I mean, was I going to build my day around that event? No. No. But you know, I did. I got my yard work done. I went inside. The event was still on. They had just made the turn, so I put it on and I recovered from the yard work by right. just watching the rest of that, and it was fun to watch.
I thought that Tiger was skinny. Did you see
his? His legs were really skinny. I mean, he had like right. chicken right. legs. I'm like, right. I thought you, but you know, who's going to argue with the guy, right? He looks like he's in pretty good shape. Right. I mean, right. I'm not going to fight him. So, but you know, one of the things that a lot of the analysts and people who were watching it said after the fact was they were impressed by how comfortable and smooth he looked, and they're just kind of saying, "Watch out!"
Talking about Tiger Woods. No, that too.
He looked comfortable out there. He was playing. He was hitting shots where he wanted to hit shots.
It was a beard,
and
it was a beard.
You know what? He's got to shave that. It's not. I'm sorry. I don't think it's a good look for him.
It was different.
Again, he's probably not having trouble picking up chicks, but you know, I thought that. And you know, watching him play, it did seem so effortless for him to do some of the things that he was doing.
Right.
So I'm interested to see what he's going to come out like. You know, the PGA Tour starts next week. A week from Thursday is the first tournament, so they're going to start playing without fans, and the tour gets back underway a week from Thursday.
Right. Well, it was good to see at least some competition that you know was live.
Yeah.
A little fun. They raised a ton of money.
Yeah. And again, I'm a golf watcher, anyways. Mm-hmm. So. You know, if I'm sitting in an office and if there's a TV in the office and I'm working and the golf tournament's on, I've got it on mm-hmm. as background or whatever. I'll take a look at it once in a while to see what's going on. But I do watch golf. I watch golf on the weekends. Drives my daughter nuts. She wonders how the hell I can watch golf, you know, like that because she thinks it's so boring. But right. I do. I enjoy watching golf. So I'm looking forward to the PGA Tour getting started next week.
I would assume if they caught you in Vegas a time or two and you saw the odds like on a Thursday, I'm going to put $5-10 on Tiger or whomever. That's a possibility.
Well, I know this for a fact because I've been involved in a golf pool. Picking winners on the tour is really hard.
I bet. I would bet.
It's really hard because anybody can win. Now, there are times when, you know, a Brooks Koepka, you know, wins and everybody thinks he's going to win and he wins. But I can tell you for a fact that picking a winner on week to week to week on mm-hmm. some of these, the non-major tournaments and stuff like that is not easy to do. It's really hard because again, so many guys can win. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen and who's going to be good. Here's a piece of information that I was shocked to hear. Phil Mickelson in like less than a month is qualified for the senior tour. He's going to be 50. He mentioned that on the program yesterday. And I'm like, wow. I was at the Tucson Open that he won at Randolph.
That was like 89. It was in the late 80s, I think, early 90s, it was.
It would have been probably in the late 80s, maybe early 90s.
I hated
every minute of it because it was at ASU.
In fact, I wanted to tell you because I got reached out. Somebody reached out to me, Ted Purdy. Remember him?
He's
going to be on the show. He's promoting, he's a community ambassador for the food bank. We'll have him on this week.
Be great to have Ted on.
And he's a PGA guy.
Yeah, I love talking golf. I don't know how many of our listeners love us talking golf, but it's, you know, I've been playing golf since I was 12 years old and I've been watching mm-hmm. golf that long. You know, I went to the tournaments when I was an autograph hound and I got Lee Trevino's autograph, Arnold Palmer's autograph. I don't have any of those, man. Lee Trevino, Arnold Palmer. I was a sports writer. I was the golf writer for the Star when Jack Nicklaus opened the third nine at La Paloma. So I got to interview Nicklaus for that.
Who did Star Pass? I thought he was.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't at Star Pass. Tom Weisskopf did Star Pass.
Okay.
But I covered the Tucson tournament for a couple of years and got to meet some of those guys, Tom Kite, Tom Watson, a lot of those guys. So I've always been a big fan, and because I play.
And golf's a good game because you have relatively good guys. You know how it is, baseball sometimes are surly and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'm going to tell you that having covered it, there's some surly guys in golf too.
Couples?
No, I never met Fred Couples. I do remember at one of the tournaments, in a column, Greg Hansen sort of made an offhand remark about a golfer, and it was just sort of Tom Watson, right? And the guy came into the media room and started yelling at him. And I'm like, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a sort of, you know, just one of those tour guys, doesn't ever win, but he plays and he's on the tour. And he came in and yelled at Greg. And I'm like, there's some surly guys. I remember Tom Kite. I was trying to get an interview with Tom Kite because we had the match play at the time. Mm-hmm. So Tom Kite lost in an early round. And so I happened to be following him because I saw he was losing, so I had to go. So I followed and watched the last hole, and he lost, and he was walking towards the clubhouse, and I wanted to stop him and get a couple of quotes from him, and he was having none of it.
Yeah,
can't you see that I just lost? And he walked into the clubhouse, didn't come to the media room, and he was gone.
That's the horrible part of the job.
That happens a lot. Yeah, you know. So and the match play was a tough thing because there was a loser of every match, so somebody was unhappy whenever they lost a match. So again, they're competitors, and when they don't do well or when they lose, they're not happy. So there are some of those.
People envy the jobs that we have or had until you go to the losing locker room.
They're hard jobs. You know, they're hard jobs. But again, it's all a part of it. And there were some great golfers that I got to meet. You know, I remember Tom Watson coming in. He had lost his match, but he came in. He was gracious. He did his interview, but then he cut it off because the Kansas City Royals were in the World Series. And he had to get back to his hotel room to get there in time for the game to start. I respected that.
Right. You know, well, there's your lead.
Exactly. I respected that. And so it was great to, you know, and he said, and he was friendly, and he said, guys, I got to go. The Royals are coming on. I got to get to my room. And, you know, he took off and went and watched a game.
Right, right. In fact, a lot of the U of A guys, ex-U of A guys, have done well here. Mickelson, there's been a couple of ASU guys have done really well here.
Yeah, you know, and and U of A has had such a great program, you know, over the years. You got guys like Furyk. Jim Furyk, Rory Sabatini,
Gámez,
Robert Gámez, Ricky Barnes, you know, who won a U.S. amateur and stuff like that. So it's been fun to follow those guys. I got to play baseball with Rick LaRose for a long time. So, hear a lot about what goes into being, you know, how these players become better players and the commitment that they have to make to becoming a better player.
Right, right, right. Isn't it funny? Furyk has one of those awful good golf swings.
It was funny because there was a the young guy that was playing in the event that they had last week with Dustin Johnson, Rory.
Oh yeah,
McElroy.
The amateur guy, the young guy.
Well, he wasn't an amateur. I mean, he was the youngest guy.
Yeah.
And he had the weirdest swing I've ever seen. I mean, he dipped his knee, then he started his swing, and it was a weird swing. But you know, he won a tournament last year and stuff like that. So you just never know.
I saw that too.
I mean, I think my swing looks good. But for some reason, the ball doesn't go where it's supposed to go most of the time.
Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley said, what are you talking about? My swing's bad. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a lie. It was good. It's good to have some. And you said it's going to start this weekend?
A week from Thursday. I just got somebody texted me and said, Robert Cupp and Craig Stadler designed Star Pass.
Okay.
So there you go. But, you know, these golfers that go into golf course design, you know, Mickelson's doing it. Tiger Woods has done it. You know, Tom Weisskopf was a huge designer, obviously, you know, Nicklaus.
Well, the one at the Del Sol, tell me it's Woods' buddy from Stanford.
Yeah.
God, I just lost the Native American. You know who it is.
Nota Begay.
Nota Begay, yeah. That's it. That
there
one.
You go. So, you know, it's interesting that, you know, what these guys say. And you go out and you look at a golf course and try and imagine what it looked
like
without before it was a golf course. Yeah. How did they figure that out?
Right, right. I can't even prune my lawn or do my run. Much less do that. Hey, let's take a quick break. Our last one, talk more about some local guys that have done really well here with some news. Here on 1030 The Voice, take a quick break.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. So we've had some very good guests over the last 2-3 weeks, Jay. It just proves that if you come on our show, you become successful like the kid at New Mexico State.
Exactly. We've got the Midas touch over here, which means Steve Kerr is going to win an NBA championship.
He'll probably win the lottery or something.
Bob Baffert's going to win the Triple Crown again. Terry Francona is going to win the World Series.
Right.
And Nick Gonzalez, who was on our show a couple of weeks ago, was named National Player of the Year by Collegiate Baseball out of New Mexico State. So congratulations to Nick. He's, you know, I'm sure going to be a very high draft pick in the whenever they hold the Major League Baseball draft. And, you know, by all accounts, looks like he's going to have a great baseball career ahead of him.
And they're only doing 5 rounds this year, right?
5 rounds this year. So there's going to be a lot of guys coming back to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I imagine some of those will sign free agent contracts. But, you know, guys who don't have a sure thing by being drafted, there's going to be some people stick around in college. Austin Wells, the U of A catcher, was named second team All-American. He's in that fifth round area, mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. say. So he may get drafted, and if he doesn't, it'll be interesting to see if he's going to come back.
So I was on the road Friday. I didn't come in. Obviously, you and Anthony were on the show. And I could even see your eyebrows raise a little. Maybe steam coming through your head with Anthony saying that the team that you follow is going to finish at the bottom of the league.
Well, here's the deal. It's not so much that I follow them and all that stuff. It's like Colorado's hired a coach, Carl Durrell, who could not win enough at UCLA. Players fall into your lap at UCLA, and he couldn't win there. Now, you know, who knows, you know, since he's left there, what kinds of things he's learned and how much of a better coach he's become. But he gets hired at Colorado after all the recruiting and stuff mm-hmm. is over with. He's not even seen his team. They had no spring practice, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He has no idea what his team looks like, and he's going to have 6 weeks to get his team ready to play. And Anthony picked Arizona to finish behind those guys. Now, look, I'm not happy with where the Arizona program is. You know, I'm hoping against hope that Kevin Sumlin pulls this together. You know, Grant Gunnell he's one of the few returning quarterbacks in the league. You know, even Anthony admitted they've got some good pieces, particularly on defense. You know, but then he turned around and picked him to finish behind Colorado. And I'm like, I got a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I threw it out and said, you know, Anthony and I are going to have a wager. I don't know if we're going to do. I haven't heard from him since I threw that out there. So I'm going to call him out and suggest that we got to do something. But, and, you know, it needs to be public. So I don't know what that'll be, but I'm sorry. I've been known to be a betting man, and I'm betting that Arizona at least finishes ahead of Colorado.
Let me ask you, because you're in touch with the locals, followers of the sports world, obviously. You mentioned this earlier. I'll try to remember what you said. How many people do you think who follow sports, UA sports specifically, feel the same way in your sense that they're disappointed or whatever you said about Sumlin? Like, he's not the guy. On a scale of 1 to 10, 20%, 30%?
I think there's a lot, but part of it is because of how those first two seasons rolled out, and not just the wins and losses, but just the whole atmosphere around mm-hmm. the program. This conflict mm-hmm. or situation with Khalil Tate and how that was handled. And I'm not in the locker room, but it seemed to be handled poorly on both sides of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Khalil wasn't...
And it wasn't transparent either.
Right. And so it was hard to know what was going on there. So, you know, what I talked to Anthony about was with Khalil gone and that whole aspect of the program and that sort of that think cloud hanging over the program, is it sort of going to be a fresh start for Kevin Sumlin and his staff this year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got a new defensive coordinator who everybody says was a great hire. So, you know, maybe you remove that and now something happens. And I'm hoping that it is, because you know what? As I told Anthony, my question with Anthony on Friday was, how far is Arizona away from having a chance, not getting to a Rose Bowl, having a chance to get to a Rose Bowl?
What was the answer?
Well, they're not close, but that's when he started saying, but they've got some pieces and you just never know. And, you know, is it 3 years? Is it 5 years? Is it, you know, is something going to start building this year? Because clearly in the first 2 years, it doesn't look like anything was building.
In fact, it
went the wrong direction.
Right.
But why did it go in the wrong direction? So if they're going in the right direction, because now, you know, the key pieces are mm-hmm. Sumlin's pieces, and mm-hmm. I'm talking specifically the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know that, you know, if the quarterback situation is not good, you can't win.
Right.
You just can't.
Right.
And so I'm interested to see what that's going to look like. And if we see some hope. Look, we ran down the schedule, and, you know, and they go Hawaii, Portland State.
Two.
Stanford, and then UCLA, Colorado, and Texas Tech are in there. Are the first six games.
Mm-hmm.
All six of those are winnable games. Now, are they going to win all six of them? Exactly. No, they're not.
Right,
but they can.
They could win, yeah. They could win half of those.
You know, I mean, you know, they should beat Hawaii and Portland State. Hawaii's got a new coach. It's Todd Graham,
mm-hmm.
but they got a new quarterback. The receiver that killed Arizona last year is not there. All that stuff. They're starting out, you know, brand new. If you don't beat Portland State, Kevin Sumlin needs to be fired
right there,
before
right
he even
there.
Gets to the locker room after the game.
But
then you got Stanford, who had a terrible season last year.
Where's that at?
That's here.
Okay, it's good.
Then they go to UCLA again.
Chip, you know, Kelly,
they were what, 4-8, 5-7 last year?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you got Colorado. Now, if you don't beat Colorado, yes, you are going to finish behind them. But Colorado's got to come here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you go to Texas Tech, and Texas Tech looks like a tough game. But again, you know, you don't know. So, they've got six winnable games. Let's say they win four. You know, mm-hmm. then what happens? You know, so you get some momentum now. They had momentum last year. They were 4-1 and then lost the rest of the
games. Right. Well, Tom, I think Tom and I went through the schedule a couple of months ago. I had them at 4 wins total.
I think that was our high end, Steve. We realistically said 3 if things went well, 4, and if things went poorly, it could be 2.
Yeah, well, if it's to Portland, I agree
right.
with you.
If it's 2, then you know, that's it.
Well,
they've gone completely in the wrong direction and you start over.
Another 4 was our upside.
Yeah. No, I'll stick at that.
Well, the Vegas number, the
it's 5.5?
4.5.
Ooh, so I go under, but that's a close.
Well, I'm taking the over.
Yeah, I get it. It's because that's, I would,
I'm taking
it
because I think they're going to beat Hawaii. I think they're going to beat Portland State.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to beat Colorado. Okay. Because those games are all at home. You know.
Right.
I think you should win 2 more games.
Yeah.
I'm going the over.
Okay.
The over on 4.5.
That makes sense. Here's a bet. Who is going to last longer at their school? Chip Kelly or Kevin Sumlin?
Well, it may just be a financial thing that may let Chip Kelly last longer. And because
he's
got
a monster contract.
Because he's got and he's got a monster buyout and his past reputation.
Mm.
I think he's got they've got a new athletic director there. Dan Guerrero is retiring or has retired. And they've got a new athletic director. I would think the new athletic director isn't going to come in. And if Chip has a bad season this year, fire him after the first season and take on more debt and all that kind of stuff. If Kevin Sumlin wins 4 games again this year, I got to think that he's gone.
Really?
Yeah.
So you have to, really?
I do believe that. Because if you only win 4 games, you're probably going to finish last in the division.
I don't disagree with any of that, but that's
4.
That's
you can't go
4-7?
5-7, 4-8, 4-8 and keep your job.
So then
I just don't think you can, but I just don't think he's going to go 4-8 is what I'm saying.
See, and I want some of that action at some point.
All right.
Anthony's actually tweeted. He's actually said, chiming in here to me.
You're right on.
So I don't know if they'll finish last, but I'll, I might take some of that, but
it depends on what the 4-8 looks like.
Yes, I have to see the schedule. Maybe we do that sometime this week. We'll kind of go through it.
Right. It has to be with the, if the 4-8 looks, if they're getting beat by, 30 and 40 points by, the Oregons and the USCs and everybody like that, and they don't beat the bottom feeders of the league, then it's bad. But, if they're competitive and, just missing and stuff like that, then you might say he'll stick around. Right. And again, is it going to be harder to get rid of coaches because of the financial situation caused by COVID? It might be. So maybe in the situation, a coach might get fired under normal circumstances, but because of the financial situation, they're in buyouts and whatnot, maybe he doesn't. Look, I don't know Kevin Sumlin, and I hate to sit here and talk about a guy getting fired or not getting fired, but the reality is, as a fan, you have higher expectations than a pair of 4-8 seasons.
Yeah, no question. And the momentum going in the wrong direction.
Right, and the things going in the wrong direction.
Right.
Look, this is his third year. All the excuses for why we're not any good are gone. You've got your own guys in place. You've got to have players that can play. And if you don't have players that can play, then that's on you.
Do you want me to say what Anthony said?
Yeah, tell him.
It's great to hear, or fun to hear, Jay argue that Arizona is going to be good enough to finish fifth or sixth, or fifth, not sixth.
that's so awful, God. That is so awful, but...
But true.
But let's say you beat Colorado and UCLA. Now you can finish fourth.
Then you win your bet.
Right, now you can finish fourth, right? Mm-hmm. So, the UCLA game's a key game.
Well, but for you to say 5-7, 4-8, whatever, God, I don't see that not happening. There's just no way that he's going to go 6-6 or whatever. All I
know is that a number of those great Arizona seasons came out of nowhere. Who thought they were going to go 12-1 the year they went 12-1? Who even thought they were going to, the year that they went 10-2 and went to the Fiesta Bowl, that they were going to be good that year? So it's I don't know. I just don't know. Anything can happen is what I'm saying.
I totally agree with you.
So, I think it's a big mystery. It's going to depend on how they get out of the box.
So bring a couple of bucks this week. We're going to go through the schedule, and it's going to be 4 or 5 is going to be our is our bar.
I got 5 winners.
Okay, great. Let's get out of here. Thanks for joining us on Monday. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Who do we have tomorrow?
We have
Andy Lopez.
Andy Lopez will be here.
Great show tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for listening here on Monday.